It's time to read the East Valley News. Thank you for joining me. I'm your volunteer reader, Bill Carney. Today we're going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Ahwatukee and Tempe, including Light Up Ahwatukee Holiday Fest returning, Ahwatukee Pet Sitter hails new standards, local author writes a keepsake for dogs' owners, Phoenix police draft new policy for youth encounters, and Bridgeway Church pastor leaving after 23 years. Our first article from the Ahwatukee Foothills News. Light Up Ahwatukee Holiday Fest returning by AFN staff. It's coming back, Ahwatukee. The small nonprofit Light Up Ahwatukee is bringing back its holiday festival the Saturday before Thanksgiving, November 22nd, with promises for another festive opening to the holiday season here. What started as a neighborhood holiday celebration 28 years ago has grown into one of Ahwatukee's most anticipated annual events, said co-president Bobby Roberts. From 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. on November 22nd, Desert Foothills Park will be transformed into what Roberts called a dazzling celebration of lights, laughter, and local pride. The day-long event will feature music, local vendors, great food, Santa's Village, a puppy adoption, and a kids' zone packed with bouncy houses and fun activities for all ages, as well as the traditional lighted motorcycle parade. The festival represents everything Ahwatukee stands for, community, creativity, and connection, said Roberts. It's our favorite day of the year because it brings together neighbors, local businesses, and families to celebrate the start of the holiday season in true Ahwatukee fashion. Among the highlights of the day is Marketplace Way, which she called the perfect first stop for holiday shopping. Nearly 40 arts and crafts vendors are preparing their goods, offering handmade jewelry, clothing, packaged foods, and unique gifts, Roberts said. She added that the blend of returning favorites and new artisans, all local to the Phoenix area and many from Ahwatukee itself, makes this one of the most anticipated local markets of the year. The service vendor marketplace adds even more variety, showcasing local businesses that make life easier and healthier, including Bridge Wellness Center, the Summit School, and Cocopelli Dentistry. Many booths will host interactive activities, raffles, and giveaways for a fun, family-friendly experience. The Festival of Lights has been a great tradition in the community over the past many years, and we're so grateful to participate annually, said Ray Keys Kumar, owner of Chris Water and Ice. It's so lovely to see friendly faces, new and old, all gathering to celebrate the holidays with their neighbors and friends. We're so thankful to be members of this community and cannot wait to continue serving and celebrating with everyone. Food vendors will include I Dream of Weenies, Cutie's Lemonade, and Little Caesar's Pizza. And Roberts said there will be a tempting variety of bites from mini donuts and teriyaki bowls to burgers and snow cones. Festival goers can also raise a glass at the Ren Sudal Beer Garden, returning this year as the official beer sponsor. Ren House Brewing Company will serve a curated selection of craft beers and seasonal brews. Throughout the day, a lineup of fan-favorite bands will take the stage to keep the vibes alive and the energy high from morning through night, continuing its commitment to giving back. Light Up Ahwatukee will again partner with a local charity organization, with proceeds benefiting those in need. With music, food, drinks, Santa's Village, puppies, shopping, and thousands of twinkling lights, Light Up Ahwatukee's Holiday Festival on November 22nd promises to be another unforgettable celebration of community and truly earns its title as the greatest show in the Tukey, Roberts said. For information, go to lightupahwatukee.org. That was Light Up Ahwatukee Holiday Fest returning. Our next article, Ahwatukee Pet Sitter hails new standards, also by AFN staff. As a business owner whose clientele comprise both two-legged and four-legged customers, Tracy Zippe knows the importance of trust. The owner of Yes Pet Pet Care, the Ahwatukee resident, provides various types of pet sitting, which means the two-legged clients need to know they're going to be as safe as their furry family members when they let someone into their home for short or long periods. That's why Zippay is excited about the new global pet sitting and pet walking standards developed by Pet Sitters International, the world's leading educational organization for professional pet sitters. Choosing who comes into your home and cares for your furry family is one of the most stressful decisions a pet owner makes, said Zippay, whose business formerly was called Positive Pet Sitter LLC. Now there's a trusted way to make that choice with confidence. Even better, Zippay said, her business meets all and exceeds many of the newly released global standards for professional pet sitting and dog walking businesses. The standards outline best practices in key areas such as animal care and safety, insurance and risk management, professionalism, emergency preparedness, and client privacy. For the first time, pet parents have a clear set of criteria they can use to assess potential sitters and ask informed questions about who they're entrusting with their pets and homes, Zippay pointed out. This is a real win for pet parents. Pet sitting is an unregulated industry. Anyone can say they're a pet sitter. These standards give pet parents something concrete to look for, a measure of quality, safety, and professionalism. We're proud that Yes Pet already operates well above those benchmarks. Zippay said she started her business with many of those now codified goals in mind, and gratified that she's earned the organization's Certified Professional Pet Sitter designation. The standards, developed by PSI founder and CEO Patty J. Moran and a team with more than 120 years of combined experience, were reviewed by experts in pet care, insurance, and pet health, as well as a panel of pet owners. The result is a comprehensive, consumer-focused framework that reflects both professional expertise and pet parent expectations, Zippay noted. Pet Sitters International President Beth Stultz-Hairston said formal standards were long overdue. Because the pet sitting industry is growing rapidly, but still largely unregulated, we knew it was more important than ever to share our association's professional standards publicly, said Stultz-Hairston. Zippay said, those standards validate what sets us apart, top quality, focused, and dependable care delivered by a trusted professional team. Zippay also has undergone fear-free training, designed to ease the stress, fear, and anxiety so many pets experience while they're at the veterinarian or groomer, or their owner went away on a trip without them. The training and certification program help pet professionals modify their procedures, handling, and facilities to help pets feel safe and comfortable while receiving the care they need. Her business provides a range of sitting services, from check-in visits and tuck-in packages to overnight and live-in stays and even a pet taxi. Zippay pointed to recent national research that supports the importance of this level of care. The Human-Animal Bond Research Institute, in partnership with Chewy Health, just released the Pet Health Challenges study, based on a nationally representative survey of more than 2,000 U.S. dog and cat owners, Zippay said. The study found that the emotional toll of leaving a pet behind is the number one challenge across all demographics, highlighting the need for trustworthy, professional pet care solutions that provide peace of mind. While that study focuses largely on the need for compassionate as well as competent veterinary care, it also notes the human-animal bond continues to grow stronger, with 97% of pet owners saying their pet is a member of the family, and 77% saying their pet is their best friend. Importantly, 90% of pet owners said that their pets have helped improve their mental or physical health. In other words, if you wouldn't leave Grandma or Baby Johnny with just anyone, why would you do anything different with Fido? To learn more about Zippay's services and credentials, visit yespet.com. That was Ahwatukee Pet Sitter, Hails New Standards. Our next article, Local Author Writes a Keepsake for Dog's Owners, by Paul Mariniak. Just in time for holiday gift-giving, an Ahwatukee author has created a coffee table book designed for dog lovers, as in those for whom their canine is a member of the family. Indeed, Christy Brimmer said, Best Furrend Hand in Paw is like those special books a parent creates to memorialize their child or children. If you think about a traditional baby book that parents create for their child's first year, my book is for dog owners, following the dog through their whole life, essentially creating their memoir, the 25-year Ahwatukee resident explained. Working with Ahwatukee photographer Diana Lopez and Brittany Duval Champagne, who runs the Align Design Agency in Chandler, Brimmer birthed Fur End out of a personal tragedy 4 years ago. Her 12-year-old Akita was having increasing difficulty getting around and sleeping 22 hours. Eventually, she said, "I knew it was time. I made the appointment to humanely euthanize her for 2 weeks out. Starting that night and every night after that, I would help her get on the bed and I would lay on my back next to her staring at the ceiling and tell her stories all night until I fell asleep. She was usually asleep after my introduction of the story, but I talked anyway. I told her the stories of our life together. I started with how she came to us, a surprise gift from my parents. The stories came pouring out night after night. During the day, I would think of those stories that I wanted to tell her, and I would write them down so I could tell her the story that night. I told family and friends what I was doing, and they were shocked and thrilled. What a cool idea, everyone said. They began sharing their stories of the time they spent with her, so I added those to my list and shared them with her during our story time. It became such a moving end-of-life ritual that Brimmer postponed the dog's final nap for 2 weeks. And though the two spent their final 3 days together in silence, Brimmer said, "On that fateful day, I felt good about what I was doing because of how I said goodbye, by reminiscing, reliving, and reloving our life together." While only humans who share a deep bond with a pet might be able to relate, Brimmer said she wrote her book for others to have a lasting keepsake memorializing their pet and the life they shared. The book is organized by aspects of the dog world, from the beginning of a dog's life with you to the eulogy you create, she explained. It provides prompts and questions related to specific times, events, and moments throughout a dog's life. Chapter by chapter, dog owners are essentially creating their dog's memoir, Brimmer said. The prompts and questions are phrased as though you are casually talking to someone about specific moments in your dog's life. For example, one chapter walks owners through the process they used to pick the animal in the first place. Sometimes I provide light education, then the questions and prompts cue the writer to create the story. They don't need to be writers to create this memoir. The questions and prompts are the guide. The dog owner writes the story over time, over their dog's lifetime with them. They can write in real time, or they can reflect on a lost dog. You can start writing any time. Doesn't need to be at puppyhood. Jump into the chapter that fits the time of life. Once the dog has passed, dog owners can flip through the book and reminisce and relive the detail and be taken back to the emotions of the moment and relove. Brimmer calls her creation a baby book on steroids, which explains the rich images and designs that make it a keepsake the owner can proudly leave in some prominent place in their home, so any guest can casually pick it up and share their story of that four-legged love of their life. Besides, she said it's professionally designed and printed, so it adds style to the home and makes it easy to leave out. Her creation was a long time coming, as she started it after the Akita had passed, then put it aside because her job at the time involved complex writing assignments. In 2022, Brimmer founded her own publishing company and made some progress on Fur End. Still, three years passed before she decided in April to bear down and finish her project. It helped to have a gift for storytelling that she discovered in fourth grade. "I wanted to tell stories even if they weren't mine," she recalled, adding that she began editing term papers in college to earn some money. Given her long time living in Ahwatukee, she said, she's witnessed the obsession the community has with dogs, myself included. And anyone who has a passion for their pup ultimately makes the book a must-have, Brimmer feels. The book becomes a keepsake because it's the collection of the stories of their life together, The book keeps your dog and you forever and lets you reminisce, relive, and relove your dog whenever you want because you have the most important and meaningful stories in your book. The book is available at bestforendhandinpaw.com. Incidentally, cat lovers need not feel left out. The next version of Best Friend Hand in Paw is in the planning stages, Brimmer said. Best Friend Hand in Claw. That was Local Author Writes a Keepsake for Dog's Owners. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Did you know that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org? Then click on the link for broadcast info and audio. Today, we're focusing on the news of the past week from Ahwatukee and Tempe. I'm Bill Carney, continuing on. Phoenix Police Draft New Policy for Youth Encounters by Paul Mariniak. Phoenix Police are drafting a new policy for the way officers interact with teens and seeking public input on it. In rolling out the proposed policy, the department said it and the city are seeking input from youth and parents throughout the community on the new youth interaction policy. The public input comment period will run through November 22nd. The department said the new policy aims to emphasize positive interactions between employees and you and to provide information regarding youth vulnerabilities and developmental stages. Interaction should be conducted with dignity, respect, impartiality, and trustworthy motives, it says, adding that appropriate strategies may increase effectiveness in youth-related situations which align with department values. The goal is to build trust, enhance mutual understanding, and create a foundation for productive community partnerships. The policy states officers have a unique opportunity to serve as a role model and mentor for youth with the new guidelines, and that positive interactions between employees and young people are essential to shaping their perceptions of the justice system and building long-term trust. The new guidelines come at a time when both Phoenix Police and the Maricopa County Attorney's Office have called attention to an increase in juvenile crime, particular violent offenses. The county attorney said an increase has been seen in aggravated assaults, armed robberies, and first-degree murder cases involving teenagers. The Maricopa County Superior Court reported that total juvenile referrals increased by 14% from fiscal year 2023 to 2024. In June of 2024, the Phoenix Police reported a 76% increase in juvenile violent crimes, which includes homicide, robbery, and aggravated assault. Police also attributed a 500% increase in juvenile vehicle thefts in 2023 to a viral social media trend involving specific car brands. By mid-2024, officials indicated these thefts had begun to slow down. While other violent crime categories rose, Phoenix Police reported a notable drop in juvenile homicide arrests in 2024, following a high in 2023. A 2024 survey also showed that more than a quarter of Arizona youth felt unsafe at school due to bullying and cyberbullying concerns. Risk factors associated with juvenile crime include poor academic performance, inconsistent parental discipline, lack of family support, and substance abuse. Conversely, protective factors like strong family attachments and involvement in pro-social activities can reduce the risk, experts say. The 2024 U.S. Department of Justice report that the Trump administration earlier this year rescinded alleged that Phoenix police had used problematic tactics and unlawful conduct against minors, including excessive force and aggressive language. The report suggested these encounters were detrimental to the children's well-being and created a climate of fear. The proposed new guidelines note a series of factors which can influence interactions between juveniles and police officers. They include age, intelligence, developmental capacity, and physical condition that includes both influence under drugs or alcohol, as well as juveniles' failure to take prescribed medication. It also cites risk-taking behaviors, as well as limitations on a youngster's capacity for self-regulation, appreciation of consequences for their actions, and impulse control. The guidelines also note that a juvenile's behavior can be influenced by their susceptibility to manipulation, as well as their heightened sensitivity to peer influence, as well as practice responses to authority figures, ranging from feeling coerced to active resistance. Youth may be confused, stressed, or fearful during an interaction with law enforcement, the proposed policy states, even if youth does not express these feelings to appear to be experiencing them. The impact of a mere presence of a uniformed employee may cause stress for youth. It also notes juveniles could have experienced trauma that would cause them to perceive authority figures as a threat and react to that threat in a variety of ways. Those responses could include adopting combative stances, including lashing out verbally, fleeing, or otherwise avoiding interaction, freezing and therefore being unable to follow orders, displaying escalated responses because of their perception of being physically overpowered or cornered. The policy stresses that officers should prioritize trust and rapport, and remember, youth may be sensitive to verbal and nonverbal cues and can react differently than adults. Keep communication and assess for understanding, it states, adding, officers should be aware that unwarranted criticism can negatively impact the conversation. It also notes that when officers respond to incidents where young people need protection, such as domestic violence calls, they should prioritize removing youth from the traumatic incident if practical, and arrest or interview parents of caregivers away from their children. The policy also states, the department recognizes that detaining or handcuffing youth may cause trauma, and that officers will not use handcuffs or restraints on youth to intimidate or scare them. The policy also provides guidelines for interviewing young people who are victims or are witnesses to crimes, and that during consensual contacts with youth, officers will advise them they can leave and if they choose to leave, let them. And it provides guidelines for interactions with disabled juveniles, offering a range of procedures to be de-escalated interactions. These include eliminating sources of overstimulation, like flashing lights or sirens, and assessing the youth's behavior in context, recognizing that disability-related actions may not indicate criminal intent or guilt. It also cites signs of youth in crisis, ranging from slurred speech to extremely abnormal or inappropriate behavior, advising officers to contact a mobile team of behavior specialists to help deal with the individual. That was Phoenix Police Draft New Policy for Youth Encounters. Our next article, Bridgeway Church Pastor Leaving After 23 Years, also by Paul Mariniak. Bridgeway Community Church pastor Greg Cantelmo is packing it up after 23 years leading the Ahwatukee congregation, but he shuns the word retirement. "I'm not retiring," he said. "I'm rewiring." It's hard to imagine otherwise for a man who has spread the gospel and taught other clergy in 20 different countries over his 50-year career. Indeed, when he officially steps down in the beginning of November as Bridgeway's pastor, Cantelmo won't be heading for the recliner or a fishing pole. He'll be taking off in less than 2 weeks for 10 days in Egypt to work with a medical mission. "And then I'll spend December with the family, and then come February, I'm down in Mexico with the church I've gone to a number of times over the years." While leaving Bridgeway relieves him of the long commute between Ahwatukee and his home in Gilbert, Cantelmo said he'll miss the congregation of about 80 people. "I've enjoyed all the pastorates I've had, but this one has been just very fulfilling in that I've gotten to know the families," he said. "I've seen the children grow up and got to know them. Many of them are in graduate school, and I remember them from nursery, so it's nice to see that growth." He said he lost count of the number of weddings and funerals he's presided over at Bridgeway, though he never forgets the names. He found Bridgeway via his many overseas missions in some respects. He had already concluded a 9-year stint as a pastor in Scottsdale to do mission work in the Philippines, thinking it would be a full-time gig. I went to the Philippines for a while, and I just frankly missed the interaction with people in the church, seeing the kids grow up and ministering to the old and young, and then a friend of mine said, "You know, there's this church in Ahwatukee that's looking," and so I drove by it and I thought, "Oh, that's a little church." I'd been in larger churches in the past, and I got their information and sent an application and sat down with them and talked and just fell in love with them, and they fell in love with me. Cantelmo's missions, many to African countries but also to Italy, the Philippines, and Mexico, were often relatively involved in teaching pastors and to encourage the pastors that were doing the work. You know, the big question often is, who's the pastor's pastor? It can be a lonely job, and so it's nice to sit back and be refreshed, especially by somebody from elsewhere. He also went on missions across the United States. "I have a heart for missions, but after a while, I missed pastoring," he said in an interview with AFN when he marked his 20th anniversary at Bridgeway 3 years ago. "Pastoring is getting to know people in depth. It's really interesting in a relational way. We do life together and spiritual life as well, so it's so dimensional. Ministry involves bringing the good news of Jesus and his offer of abundant life now and eternal life in the future to all who will listen," he continued. "I've always enjoyed talking and teaching about the Bible and what it means to know and follow Jesus. Working as a pastor involves caring for people in both joy and crisis. I haven't had all the answers, but I serve the one who does." For over 40 years, Cantelmo also has Bible study sessions for men who comprise a deliberate object of part of his ministry. "Women respond very positively to spiritual things," he said. "As for men, not so much. Over the years, I've found men are more isolated and don't generally like getting together," he explained in the earlier interview. "I feel it's important for the church to have men to come together to study the Bible, and it's important to families." Looking over his long career, which also included a pastorate in Los Angeles, Cantelmo obviously has seen many changes that impact on his mission to spread the gospel. "Over the years, there's been a decline in interest in spiritual things," he explained, "and that's always, always the challenge. Yet," he added, "the people at Bridgeway have just been very responsive and positive and seeking spiritual things. It's been very positive, but the challenge has been just the culture." In some ways, meeting that challenge explains part of the reason why he's rewiring, not retiring. "At this stage of his life, while his decision to leave Bridgeway was difficult, and I still enjoy working with people and preaching God's word, I'm a little tired of some of the administrative things that take place. And as much as I love it, I just feel a pull towards more of doing the mission work." That was Bridgeway Church pastor leaving after 23 years. Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News for Ahwatukee and Tempe. I'm your volunteer reader, Bill Carney. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic, coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.